Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy, recording at 1:15 p.m. That is Pacific Summer Time. Today is July 20th, and it was a pretty eventful day today in terms of what was happening in the currency markets. The euro was up over a cent. It's at 1.1629 right now. So this is the highest closing level that it's had in at least 2 years. Actually, it goes back to January 2015, the last time it closed at a high at this level, and on previous tests of around the 1.17 level, it has failed in rather dramatic fashion. So, the big question is whether this breakout is going to be sustained. The reason that it is so firm today is because Mario Draghi failed in his statements today to say that he was worried about the strength of the currency, and there is continued speculation that the ECB is approaching a point in time where they could think about tapering what has been an extraordinary period of monetary accommodation, where they've added over 2 trillion euros to their balance sheet. And that has led to the euro strengthening. It's perhaps worth having a look at that. And, whoops, not typing particularly effectively. But this is potentially important here because the euro has done spectacularly well over the last month. It is a little bit overbought in the short term. Nevertheless, a range is an explosion waiting to happen, and when something becomes overbought, it can stay overbought in the context of a breakout. And not least because when we look at how a lot of these overbought and oversold or momentum indicators are calculated, they tend to give a great deal of emphasis to the most recent trading action. But of course, because it's been ranging for the last 2 years, then that trading action is compressed, so it exaggerates the overbought condition. But nevertheless, we can see that the euro has gone up really quite quickly over the last month. It is at an area of potential resistance, and there is the potential either that it pause in this level or it extend the breakout and push all the way up towards 120 before getting some consolidation. Now, when we think about that in terms of its impact upon European markets, the ECB wouldn't be thinking about tapering unless they were reasonably confident that we were back in a position where we were going to have at least some growth taking up the reins of the growth dynamic that they're trying to achieve. So that's quite positive. But nonetheless, when we look at the performance of the stock market today, then the majority of those European stock markets were in negative territory, and not in a dynamic manner, but they were mostly in negative territory today. If we look at, for example, the Euro Stoxx Index, then I think the most important thing here is that it has been quite inert over much of the last month. That's despite the fact that the euro has been firm. But of course, on a relative strength basis, the rebound that we've had on Wall Street has really outpaced the any kind of rebound that's been seen on the majority of European indices, with the FTSE being the notable exception. This continues to look like a consolidation in the region of the 2015 peak, the region of the psychological 400 level, and it's unwinding the overbought condition relative to the trend mean, and it so far has been really quite orderly. The fact that the euro is so firm is probably acting as a brake on the ability of the index to rally, but it isn't a one-for-one relationship any longer. The fact that growth is picking up is, I think, becoming a more relevant consideration now for some of these European indices. The German market has been the clear leader, and it is continuing to consolidate, having broken above that 12,000 level and broken above the 2015 high. Whereas, if we then look at some of the markets that have been among the worst performers over the last decade, Portugal does stand out because it trended lower for such a long time, and then there is such a clear rounding characteristic to the price action over particularly since January, and now we have this progression of higher reaction lows, and it has bounced better than a number of those other European indices that we've just looked at over the last couple of weeks. And that would suggest that for a market like Portugal, there is at least a reasonable chance that we're back in a recovery trajectory, and that even though prices are still comparatively close to the lows posted back in 2012 and 2016, then the upper side of the range is almost 3,000 points higher than the index is right now. So, within the context, that is an almost doubling from from trough to peak in terms of what is an evolving, almost decade-long base formation. It's also worth taking a look at some of those government bonds, and this is the Portuguese 10-year. Of course, Italian bonds, Portuguese, Spanish bonds, they've been some of the primary beneficiaries of the, well, I guess it is Germany has been the primary beneficiary of ECB buying, and all the other countries have experienced buying in direct relationship to the size of their respective economies, with the exception of Greece, which hasn't been the beneficiary of any buying by the ECB more recently. And they haven't been able to go back to the market and issue bonds either, and that's also something that might be approaching. But what we can see here is that the Portuguese bond market is still really quite well bid, that yields are still at really very low levels at 3%, and that is, I think, further evidence that they are benefiting from that ECB buying. So then the question is whether that growth and whether the their ability to rally will continue once the ECB starts its tapering program. I think that it is the bonds on the periphery will be ones to watch, in addition to what happens with German bunds. And here is the 10-year yield, where it is currently at 0.53 of 1%, but the price action is really does look like that is a completing first step above the base, and that the most likely scenario is that German yields are going to be moving higher from here. That the rather charmed existence that the German government had back in 2016, where investors were willing to pay them to take their money, is over, and that their borrowing costs are going to increase from here. And the FTSE 100, which has continued to benefit from the relative weakness of the pound, has bounced rather impressively over the last couple of days as well. It's held a progression of high reaction lows since the beginning of 2016, and that is continuing to extend the breakout from what was a very lengthy range. And I think that as long as it is trading above 7,000, we can give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. This looks almost exactly like some of the other major lengthy base or ranges that we've seen completed over the last 5 years. And if we gave the benefit of the doubt to those, there's absolutely no reason we shouldn't give the benefit of the doubt to the FTSE as well. The euro pound has been particularly volatile over the last 2 weeks. The pound rallied pretty impressively 3 consecutive days in a row last week, and those have been completely countermanded in the last 3 sessions. And now the euro is trading at a new peak, new recovery peak versus the pound. There is a, I think there are two ways to look at this. One is that the euro is pricing in the potential for quantitative easing tapering, or the tapering of quantitative easing by the ECB. Then there is the other side of the equation, where the Bank of England is probably not quite there yet. But then there is an additional question. Deutsche Bank CEO Kryan was today saying that they're preparing for a hard Brexit, and the so far everything that we've seen out of the negotiating stance taken by the UK government is that David Davis, people are starting to compare how much paper he's bringing to meetings versus the Europeans, and beginning to question how committed to the negotiations is the UK government. Are they pushing it along to a certain extent so that they can say that they tried their best and couldn't come to an agreement and then go for the hard Brexit? That's still open to consideration. The other is that they want to drag on the negotiations for a very prolonged period of time and run out the clock, or run or then redefine the clock later so that these negotiations go on for an interminable amount of time and that the status quo is sustained. So there is still this great deal of uncertainty about what the intentions of the negotiating team are going to be, whether they want a Brexit, a hard Brexit, a soft Brexit, or indeed do they want Brexit at all. So because of that uncertainty, I think that is taking a toll on the pound. And when we look at it versus the US dollar, it has pulled back from the 130 level, but the dollar is not strong in here. So the more important point is that even though the euro is really quite firm, the pound is trading above that 6 month range. It is trading in the region of the trend mean, and there is potential for it to advance against the dollar, provided it continues to hold the lows that we saw posted all the way back here at the beginning of the month. I'm heading out to China on Sunday, and I'll be writing this service from there. But I think that and I'm rather looking forward to seeing what the what it looks like on the ground out there. One of the reasons that we're seeing an almost clampdown on any kind of criticism and or indeed any kind of comparisons of any sort of politicians with cartoon characters, or the clamping down on WhatsApp and social media, on virtual crossing networks. So these are all very much tied to the political, I guess the political environment right now in China is getting progressively tighter because they don't want to leave anything at all to chance. There is a major political upheaval coming up in September, and until then, they are not going to want to see anything to upset the apple cart. They are going to want to do anything they can to ensure that the status quo remains intact. I really am rather looking forward to seeing what it is like on the ground in southern China. And here is the banking sector over on a weekly basis, and we can see that it has broken out in a pretty emphatic form. That's despite the headlines that we've seen, where a lot of the commentary has been around how much tightening has been imposed upon the banking sector, yet it is outperforming here and doing rather well. When we look at the A-share index, then it has been reasonably inert, but it has been up pretty impressively over the last couple of days. When we look at it on that weekly chart, I continue to think that this is an engineered gradual uptrend, and that we are now approaching the upper side of the range that's been in existence since the end of November, really. It is also worth looking at the Shenzhen B shares because there aren't any banks in this index, and it is generally an index of it's more focused on privately owned companies, would probably be a better way of describing it. And it is pushing back up towards the upper side of this evolving range, and it has now broken the downward bias over, I think that's been there since September. So this is a tentative signal that maybe the tide is turning and that things are looking a little bit more encouraging for the market. And the Hang Seng in Hong Kong has broken above that 25,000 level, and it was up again in here today, and it is looking increasingly likely that it is now completing what has been a very lengthy period of volatile ranging. So, and that is against a background where there is a great deal of risk that is perceived to be in China, whereas I suspect that it could be rather the opposite, that the administration is going to do anything in their power to ensure that there is no risk in the stock market until at least September or October. And that would be what I think is beginning to be demonstrated in some of the performance of these indices. So that is certainly a point I think worth contemplating. And the Nifty index is within 130 points of that psychological 10,000 level. It is a little bit overbought in the short term. It has broken up and out of what was a 2-year range, and it is due some pause and consolidation, but really a sustained move below the trend mean would be required to even begin to question that this isn't still a demand-dominated environment. And the Indian rupee has been really quite steady. India doesn't want to have the strongest currency in the world, and I think that they are managing it relative to a dollar, which is quite weak. It was a little bit weaker in here today, but I think it would really require a move above 65 to even begin to question that this isn't still a rather firm environment for the rupee overall. And when we think about things in the broader perspective, there has been a great deal of commentary recently about what's happening in oil, and it did move to a new high in here today, but it wasn't able to hold that move above $50. And if the bulls are to have a credible argument, then it is going to have to sustain a move above $50. So it wasn't down in a dynamic fashion in here today, but $50 is a rather large psychological level, and it will have to sustain a move above it. Then, when we look at the broader commodity complex, gold prices were reasonably steady in here today. We have had a bounce from the $1,200 area. It is coming back up towards this $1,250 area. The medium-term chart is still dominated by that very large break above our break to take out the medium-term downtrend at the beginning of last year, and this continues to look like a period of right-hand extension following the type 2 bottom completion. If that conclusion is to remain credible, then the $1,200 level really should hold, and it should be able to sustain a move above 1,250. But so far, it is making heavy weather of it, and it really probably does need some form of catalyst to begin to drive it higher. Platinum prices continue to hold the $900 area, and silver prices have now broken above the $16 level. They've been holding it for the last 4 sessions. Today was a reasonably quiet day, but again, the most important thing that's happened there has been that downward acceleration that we saw 2 weeks ago, and we're still in a reversion to the mean, or at least a short covering rally remains underway. The big question is going to be what happens when it gets back up towards the region of the 200-day moving average, but so far it is continuing to rally from reasonably depressed levels around that $15 area, which has offered support on a number of occasions over the last few years. With just an additional note, the market closes at 1 p.m. in Los Angeles, which is why I record the audio around this time of the day. But it closes at 4 a.m. in Hong Kong time. So I may be recording the audio just a little bit later, so that I'm not getting up at 3 a.m. in the morning. While I'm out there, maybe just will be getting up around the same time that I get up when I'm in California. So that would probably mean that I would be recording the audio probably more like 11 p.m. UK time. So that would also ensure that Australian subscribers can still get the audio when they get up in the morning. And I hope that that is not too inconvenient from the perspective of other subscribers. I hope to be able to give you a more on the ground feel for what's going on in China. I think that what's happening there is going to be important, and that it does have the potential to have a catalytic effect on some global markets at least, and not least the commodity markets. And I think that getting some on the ground intelligence would not be time wasted in any way. So with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.